Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
Well, it's great to see you this morning. It's a wonderful to celebrate together. I see a number of you that I know, a number of you that I don't know, and I'm really glad that you chose to come here this morning. I love a good story. I love a good novel. I love a good Netflix movie And I love a good story because if it's well written, the novel will tell you truth about the world without having to state truth about the world. If you get a good movie, a well-crafted movie, it will show you the truth about life, not because it preaches to you, but because it uncovers the truth in its characters. Of course, a well-written story can also craftily lie to you, so one has to be discerning. But I think most of us gravitate towards a good story because deep down, all of us know that we are authors of a sort. Every day, we write the story of our lives. The choices we make, the things we do, the people we meet dictate the storylines. Often there are a number of subplots going on. What is happening with our extended family? What's happening at work? What's happening amongst our friends? Then there's the main storyline, which is what is happening in and around us. You may not have thought of yourself as an author, but you are authoring your life. However, unlike a fiction author, you do not have complete control of the story. You can influence it by the directions and by the choices you make, but others are writing into your story. Your boss writes into your story. The person that ran the red light and caused a fender bender writes into your story. Your mom and dad write into your story, for better, for worse. Your friends write into your story. That's why it's important to have good friends. Of course, your health and your talents and your skills all affect your story. And while you're writing your own story, there's another story that's being written. Your story is written into the big story, God's story. History is His story, the big story of God. He's been writing in His story into the fabric of the universe from the beginning of time. And His story is a great story. It's a big story, big enough to encompass everybody's story. Yet God is such an incredible author that He is able to let everyone write their story and have His story end up the way He wants it to. God being God has more control over His story than we have over ours, but He doesn't have complete control. He has given you the ability to make choices, real choices in your story. He has given you the chance to follow Him or reject Him. You can choose to live in harmony with the kingdom of God and the story that He is writing, or you can choose to oppose it. You can intentionally choose to have your story dovetail with His, or you can try your best to keep your story separate from His. But that's a losing battle because all stories are encompassed in the story of God. I have to say, though, that God loves it when we write our story, the story of our lives, in harmony with His. I love it around here when we have a chance to hear testimonies from different people who have come to put their faith in Jesus. Each testimony is people coming to Jesus, and it's a choice to write their story into His. I don't know about you, but there have been a lot of elements in my story that I wish weren't there. There are some choices I made in the past that I wish I could make again. There are some things that other people did to me that skewed my story somewhat. There are limitations written into my story, to each one of our stories. But unlike the writer of fiction, I can't go back and delete those parts of my story. The parts of my life that aren't well written, I can't delete those. When the day is done, that part of the story is set in stone. I know the story of some of your lives. you, like me, have stories that have had great parts and challenging parts. Some of you live with fear and hope, with difficulties and with challenges. What do you do with those parts of your stories? Do you ignore them and just try to write the stories as if that didn't happen? Or do you work with them? I found that it's at those very points of our story that God comes and invites us to write into his story. More importantly, he comes to us and offers to write into our story. There becomes critical moments in the story. How we respond to God's invitation can be a pivot for the whole story. When those moments arrive, when God is to write in his story into our story, we really want him to do it by just coming in and answering our prayers. God, yeah, I'm writing my story, but you know, I have this prayer request. If you would just answer that prayer, oh, that would be a great part of the story. God, get me out of this place. God, fix this problem. We'd like him to drop in and do the miracle so that we could get on with the way our story was. And sometimes he does that. But he doesn't just want our stories to bump into his. He wants our story to be harmonious with the large story. If you've ever written a story and you want the characters and the story to meet, there needs to be a time and there needs to be a place. The place where our stories fully meet with God's story is on Easter weekend. To truly be involved in God's big story, our stories have to come through the Easter story. Last Friday, Good Friday, we remembered how Jesus was crucified on a hill called Golgotha. He was hung on a cross and there he died. His death shook up the disciples. After all, they had followed him for the last 3 years of their lives. When Jesus was abandoned by the crowds, he asked the disciples, "Are you going to leave me too?" And Peter said and spoke for them all and said, "Where else are we going to go? Only you have the words of eternal life." They had not only come to follow him, but they had come to believe in him. All their hopes and their dreams were wrapped up in him. Those dreams came to a screeching halt with his death and crucifixion. That isn't the way the story's supposed to end. They imagined a future, and this was not that. That was Friday, but now it's Sunday. Come with me to John chapter 20. You heard the story being read. It was Sunday. It was the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, found that it was empty. Now that was unexpected. See, when you go to someone's grave, you expect to find the grave closed. When you go to someone's tomb, in ancient times it was a cave carved into rock, you expect to find the person who was buried in the tomb. But there were no remains. So Mary came roaring back to the disciples with the news, and Peter and John, they took off to the tomb. They get there, and they find out that it was just like they were told it was. Verse 8. Then the disciples who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. He believed what? Well, he believed that Mary told the truth. The tomb was gone. But for until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. The unexpected is one thing. Tomb's empty. That's unexpected. But now Peter and John had seen it, and they're left scratching their head and thinking, what has happened now? And it kind of moves from the unexpected to the unexplained. What do you do with the whole idea with that the body is missing? Well, verse 10, they went home. What else are you going to do, right? When you hit the unexpected and it moves into the unexplained, you need to regroup, so they went home. Now Mary hung around the grave, and she runs into two angels, and she's crying hard. She doesn't see that they're angels. She doesn't really care that they're angels. She has one question in mind. Where is the body of Jesus? She thought, I have come to anoint his body, and I am going to anoint his body. Where have you taken his body? I'm going to get there. Just tell me where I'm going to go. Well, she is peering into the grave, and she hears a voice behind her. Verse 15. Dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus answered her, who are you looking for? She thought he was the gardener. Sir, he said, if you've taken away him away, tell me where you've put him and I will go get him. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher. She freaks. What else can you say, right? It's just too good to be true. How is it true? I saw him crucified. I saw a spear go into his side. How can this be? And she talks with Jesus, and Jesus talks with him. And then he sends her with a message to his disciples. This is the message, verse 18. Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. And then she gave them his message. Now, what was the disciples' takes on this? Thomas gets labeled with the label Doubting Thomas because he doesn't believe it when the rest of the disciples tell him that they have seen Jesus. But the rest didn't believe it when Mary told them that she had seen Jesus. After all, dead is dead. They had seen him die. They had knew that no one escaped the crucifixion. And they made doubly sure by start shoving a spear in Jesus' side. They knew that he was dead, and dead is dead. Now, what has happened has gone from the unexpected to the unexplained, and now to the unbelievable. It just doesn't make sense anymore. Verse 19. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. And as he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hand and his side. And they were filled with joy because they saw the Lord. He had to show them his hands and his side before they would believe him. But when he showed them the undeniable proof that he had risen from the dead, when he showed them his nail-pierced hands and his spear-pierced side, they believed, and they were overjoyed. Christ indeed had risen from the dead. It went from the unexplainable to the unbelievable to the undeniable. These disciples believed that Jesus rose from the dead, and their belief was so strong that all of them died for that belief except for John the Apostle. As I hear people writing the story of their lives, often the stories that I hear mimic Easter. Elements of our story are not what we wish they were. But often in troublesome times, we feel the story needs to take a different turn, but we're not sure how to make that turn. It might be a sense of meaninglessness, or spinning our wheels. Might be a sense of insecurity or fear. Fear of the future, fear of the past, fear of what happened. Might be a sense that there's something bigger than ourselves. Maybe just the world spinning out of control. But something happens to bring you to this place where you know the story that you're writing in your life must move in a different direction. Great thing about God is he's already at work. God is not just at work in super saints. He's not just at work in the lives of Christians. He's at work in the lives of people who don't even think he exists. He's at work in people who take no thought of him. Some of you know it and some of you don't, but God is actively at work in your life. He's been trying to write his story and get your story to interact with his. Do you want to see the fingerprints of God in your life? Start looking at your story. And start looking for the unexpected. Some of you thought, well, why did I hear that conversation about God? Or things start to happen around you that, well, they could be real coincidences, but they then start to accumulate. So I heard this person talk about God, heard the song on the radio, and it just seemed to say the same truth that I was thinking about. Wonder if God's starting to speak to me? It's unexpected. And oftentimes when you start to pay close attention to those unexpected things, it moves from the unexpected to the unexplained. There's things that just don't seem to have a good explanation to them. You haven't given God much thought, and all of a sudden, it seems like God's trying to get your attention. Pretty easy to write him off. If you start with the premise that God is either non-existent or that he is distant, then, you know, you just kind of, well, the unexplainable, whatever. There's a lot of unexplainable things in our world. It's easy just to ignore them and walk away, but if God is trying to get your attention, it'd be good to pay attention to what's happening around you. Why did I just overhear that conversation? Why is my friend talking to me about God? Why am I starting to think about spiritual things? I'm praying and starting to see more coincidences. Here's the thing to know about God. It's his desire to walk in a deep personal relationship with you. He doesn't want to bowl you over so that you have no choice, but he wants to gently call you and say, hey, I'd like to walk with you. I'd like to know you, and I'd like you to know me. Easter weekend is all about Jesus making a way for us to know God and walk in relationship to him. Maybe you're starting to grasp the good news that we find in Jesus. You find out that he's the bridge between God and people. We were separated from God by our sin. And we couldn't be good enough or righteous enough. We couldn't do enough, be religious enough to get to God. Our own efforts just don't make it there. But God comes to us in the person of his son and says, I want a relationship with you. And all the things that stand between us, your sin, you holding me at arm's length, I'm willing to forgive that. I paid the price for those sins. And I want to give you a gift, a free gift. You don't have to do anything to earn it. You don't have to become more religious. You don't have to become better or good. You just need to receive the free gift, and I'll take care of the rest. He says, will you reach out? I want to give you forgiveness, and I want to give you my life. The problem is that when you really grasp the good news of Jesus, it goes from the unexplainable to the unbelievable. The God of the universe knows me by name. More than that, he loves me, that he really loves me. In fact, he likes me. More than that, he's done what it takes to bridge the chasm between God and me. And he's doing what it takes to help me walk into a relationship with him. That's unbelievable. You've moved from the unexpected to the unexplained. Now you hear this gospel, and wow, it's hard to believe. God, the God of the universe, knows me by name, loves me, and he's done everything for me, and he offers me a free gift. Here's where people need to make a decision. Are they going to keep on moving towards God, or are they going to walk away? Are you going to leave it there? Everyone needs to make that decision. Jesus' disciples could have done that. Peter had a family, and he could have said, hey, yeah, right, the tomb's empty. Okay, that's unexplainable, but I'm out of here. I'm going back to my wife. Peter and John, or I say James and John, they had a fishing business going on with their dad. Tomb's empty. Yeah, well, that's an interesting fact. I just think I'll go fishing. We can leave it there, but they didn't do that. They saw the empty tomb. They could have said, this is too much, I'm going home. But they stayed to see what would happen. There have been some of you been confronted with the unbelievable, and you're wondering, should I move on? Or should I push a little farther into this? After all, if you start allowing God to write his story into yours, you don't get the same literary freedom, right? You will be a co-author with God. You'll be writing your story alongside of him. And you'll be writing a story that's consistent with another story. But it'll be a better story. Because I'll tell you, God's a better author than you. He just is. And if you think that God's a difficult co-author, you should try sin. It's brutal to write your storyline with it as your co-author. Some of you are right at that unbelievable stage. You can walk away, but the other option is to stay and actively wait for God to break through. And there'll be a time where you say, I know I need to take a step of faith. Don't understand it all, but I'm going to accept it. Jesus died for me. And if you want to do that, you just simply say, Lord, I'm going to choose to step out in faith and believe what you said, that you're offering me this free gift of salvation. Lord, forgive my sins. Come into my life. I want to write the story of my life with you. And you go through Good Friday, where he takes your sin on the cross. And you go through Easter Sunday, where he gives you new life. And that's the beginning of a new story. There are a number of you here who have chosen to co-author your life with God. You've chosen to write in harmony with the big story, and that's wonderful. You've understood that you were far from God, and things in your life didn't allow you to come close, but God came close to you. And on the cross, on that first Easter, Jesus did what he had to do so you could walk in relationship with him, and you have been walking in relationship with him for a long time. I want you to know that the more you write with God, the more profound your story will become. And it takes somewhat a similar pattern. The unexpected happens. There's a ministry opportunity that takes place. You weren't expecting it. Or there's some suffering that comes into your life. You weren't expecting that. Or you have a community that comes up and spurring you on and say, hey, you know, I think you would be really good at. Or you hear some new truth about God and it just lights up your mind and your heart. You say, hey, you know, wow, that was unexpected. And you start to think, oh, goes from the unexpected to the unexplained. Is this really God? Don't understand everything I see. I don't understand exactly what he's trying to show me, but it moves from the unexplainable to the unbelievable, yeah. And this is where, am I going to live by faith? Do I really believe that God is calling me in this direction? Does God really want to take me deeper? Does he really want to have a deeper relationship with me? Does he really want me to push into him? But he comes to that place where you say, yeah, I'm going to make the leap of faith. And it goes from the unbelievable to the undeniable. And some of you can look back at your life and you can say, time after time after time, God has come through. So many of you I've talked to who say, time after time after time, God has come through. It's undeniable. My prayer is that you will, in this Easter season, continue to push in to all that he has for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the cross, where you took our sin, you paid the penalty, you took our shame, you gave us your goodness, your righteousness, So now you extend this invitation. And Lord, I'm asking that each person here would respond to that small voice that says, yeah, come, let's author your story together. Lord, I ask that you would give faith to the people who are at that spot in their life where they get it, but it's so unbelievable. I ask that you would help them take that step of faith and that they would experience a life that is truly life. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.